Go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. This obviously is about the Good Samaritan, the proved to be a neighbor, something we've all probably read about since we were knee-high. So some of this I think will be reviewed, and maybe some of it is something we hadn't thought about in a while. Maybe we can glean some information, or at least something we can apply to our lives. Certainly welcome your comments and easy questions. So we've quite a number out who usually make comments, so feel free to even just waiting to say something. Now is your night. I'm sure we've all read this before, but let's go ahead and read it, make sure it's fresh in our mind. Luke chapter 10, starting verse 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25. And the lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among robbers. And they stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and put him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." So let's first look at the lawyer, the person who kind of starts off this, prompts this story. What 2 questions did the lawyer ask? What was the first question that he asked Jesus? "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Fair question to ask Jesus? I'd say so. In verse 25, the lawyer stood up and put him to the test. "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What was the second question the lawyer asked? "Who is my neighbor?" Verse 29. So, why in the world do you think that lawyer asking these questions? Did he not know? Was he trying to gather information? This is a genuine question? Or what do we think? "25, putting to the test. And 29, wishing to justify himself." We can see way back then, lawyers. So how did Jesus answer, and dropping that question too, what was the answer to the lawyer's questions? What was the first answer? What is that? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself." Pretty encompassing statement there, broad statement on how we should carry ourselves, treat one another, carry ourselves in everyday life. And dropping it in 2B, what was the answer to the second question? Right, and who was, took note version, who was the neighbor? The one who helped, the one who showed mercy. Yes, sir. Hold that thought. That's page 2. You're exactly right. So, I believe that Laurie, he was trying to justify himself. He was put into the test. He was looking for loopholes. He was looking for a way out. He was, you know, I know who my neighbor is. My neighbor is my friend, my family, my fellow Jews, my, you know, somebody I work with. So the question for us is, do we look for loopholes or outs on certain subjects? And I guess I ask you, what can you give me some examples where we or people in general might try to find loopholes on stuff that we really know, but we're trying to find a way out? Okay. Marriage and divorce is definitely the one I had, number one. Contribution, how so, huh?
People may
fail
to make
sure. Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't think about contribution, but we kind of going with that. I have as a characteristic of this marriage, and kind of what his thought process was, you know, on the money side of it. So, any other examples y'all came up with, Mark? That's a good point, Mark. I would think you see sharp buildings with the sign "Church of Christ" on it that don't even try to distinguish anymore. I mean, there's one in, I'll get you out in a second, in Highland Park, north part of Dallas, highly affluent, you know, area. And they do everything. I mean, they even have a health center type deal there at the church. So, and their argument is it's for, you know, the greater good of mankind. So, yeah, that's definitely a good one. Alex? Okay. Elaborate on both of them, please. Say I go 60%, 75% of the time. You know, and then the question is, is that the same attendance record they have at work, or are they much better at work? I'm not sure you could, you know, I could go to work 75% and still hang on the job, but. And prayer. That's not a hard thing to do, is it? For it to, you look down at the day, you're like, you know, I don't know if I talked to God today. You didn't plan on it, just things happen, life gets in the way. That's a good point. Yes, ma'am. Same work for sure. It's you see a lot of it, and especially in this, I say this town, this economy. I mean, it's a 24-hour, whether it's a primary chemical plant or a service industry, it's definitely there. And you said, you know, I gotta work overtime. I gotta earn that money. And some of that is only you're going to know, right? You and God are the only one going to know. Any other? Those are all good comments. I've been thinking of some of those. Yeah. Sir?
I have a big one. Don't hold this by themselves by
speaking specifically because I'm attending services at Soul Soul Church. And it's understandable that that happens sometimes. Some folks think that it's being taken up going all over. They're like visiting all over the place. Supposed to work by this thing. And if they say continue, they justify themselves by saying, it's okay because I'm here for
another. Right. But you're not necessarily part of the team, if you will. I put marriage and divorce. I had worship and kind of i.e. instrumental music or other, you know, caveats to that. Then I also had baptism / salvation. But, you know, whether it's, you know, I need to be baptized at all or if I just say a prayer in my heart. So there's all different kind of things that, and those answers are right across the board up and down the street, right? And most people won't say a word to you about it, but that you're doing wrong. That hey, that's not right. Oh, you said the sinner's prayer, then you're saved. You're good. I mean, so we can't talk to our friends and neighbors or coworkers to verify our decisions, right? We're not going to get the right answer. We're going to get a answer, but not be the correct answer. They're not the authority. Anything else before we move on to? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mark, this book story is nothing but compassion. And that, what you're saying, that you tell me you have no compassion? Right. That's the argument you'll get, right? I mean, so you got to do the old heartstring method, you know, but there's a pattern we got to follow. We'd rather just pay some money and let somebody else do it. No, we all agree there's countless good causes that need funds that are good effort, the good work. It's just not approved to use church funds for such things. So, yeah, how about we have to have, you know, ourselves pitch in versus the church director. Like I said, then the crowd gets fewer and fewer, doesn't it? Yep. Jesus asked three questions. What is written in the law? How does it read? Which of these do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man? The first two questions, what does that tell you about Jesus' questions? What do you glean from that? What do you pull from that? What you study? So I can just read and then I'm good, right? We got read, then we gotta do what? Apply. Reading's the easy part, isn't it? It's the application. Because the application causes us to do what? Reflect. Look yourself in the mirror. Make some hard decisions. You know, it's a whole lot easier to pick out other people's problems in it, you know? If Keith would just do this, then he'd be right on. But it's hard to look in the mirror and, you know, Neil needs to work on this. So, do we think the lawyer was trying to improve himself? Do you think was he trying to do some reflection? Or was he just trying to show out in front of some of his friends? Or?
He was
tempted in front of him. Can you just shake your head with that statement? I mean, I'm gonna stand up, I'm going to test Jesus. You also don't know what do you see any miracles before? Do you not know anything about the guy? No, it just kind of, just one of those you just shake your head and kind of like, wow. Okay. Sir.
You're writing standard from the lawyer, well, put there.
Okay.
As a lawyer, an expert in Mosaic law. And goes along with the making it all charity works, he did it along with us. Because that's the game he's trying to justify himself.
Right, he knew it, all right. It's kind of a microcosm what you read in the Holy Testament about the Jews. They knew what they were supposed to be doing. They just couldn't get over Jesus not being an earthly king. Just they knew what they were supposed to be doing. They've been studying for how long? But just couldn't get past. Yes, sir.
It's interesting that he gave a lot of business to justify his head. He knew the law. He didn't have anything to do with it.
Yep, he had it. He knew it. Yep. Are we any different today? Do we know most of the things we shouldn't do? No question. But then, are we sometimes no better than a lawyer? Why are we doing them? I don't know. I guess we're ignorant. I don't know. It's no different. We're putting Jesus to the test our own way. Instead of acting, we're doing something contrary to what he tells us to do. So, okay. How's that? Oh. Yes. You don't know my situation. Yeah. That's a good point. We're all special. Yes, sir, Mark? Don't you wish you could, the people that question or, you know, kind of put Jesus to the test, don't you could circle back and follow up with them and kind of, how'd that go for you? You know, how'd that work out? You know, it never ends well for them. They always look, seem to be humiliated and look foolish.
Yep.
So,
on those three questions that you mentioned about waiting, that's interesting. The first question, the pilot actually answered the third question, which of these three moves be a neighbor. Well, the second question is, how does it read to you? So there I believe is how we have to read, we have to trust it.
Absolutely.
And so that's a big goal we have to do is understand and apply to
first. Right. And could mean, is there's the case where we just interpret it wrong. We're just genuinely wrong, correct? I mean, that's, so I don't want to make sure we're, that's possible, but I don't think that's necessarily the case with the lawyer. I think we've already answered this, but why did Jesus ask these questions? Was he seeking information, or was he trying to call the lawyer to consider his responsibilities? I think we all agree that he's trying to teach the lawyer. He's trying to get him to, you know, reflect on his actions in the past, his actions in the moving forward. So he's trying to educate him. He's trying to help him. Yes, sir. Read, interpret, apply, and then take action, right? Move forward. What am I going to do with it? Now that I have the correct information, what do I do with it? Do I do anything with it, or I just like, yeah. What are some characteristics of the Samaritan? Well, I have some down there, but I want to see if y'all had anything different than what I came up with.
Passion.
Generous. Very much so. Caring? Anything?
I could say that selfless. So he didn't seem to know that he would be reimbursed as he didn't care what I did to make sure. But he did pretty well without any kind of aspect of reimbursement.
That's a big deal for us, isn't it? I'll help you, but hey, that's one of my columns. So whenever I need something, I'm going to call you back. Hey, remember that time? Any other characteristics y'all had?
Well, he wasn't blinded by race or difference. I think you kind of see that from the way the beginning of the story starts. You know, kind of shows which ones didn't accept the guy and the
one that would be thought to be the enemy is one
right.
The enemy, but one that they think really would be the one that
and I don't have it on here. Let's talk about that for a second, Craig. Who were the two people that didn't help? Were they a bunch of outlaw thugs? No. They were priests and Levites. They're supposed to be the teachers. Supposed to be the educators. Some set an example, definitely. But they kind of show you what the opposite of what to do, what not to do, right? I mean, they didn't even, hey, I'm going to get you some help. I mean, they crossed on the other side of the road. So, I mean, you think all Jews would know about Moses, what God did for their forefathers, all the stuff they did, right? All the compassion, all the mercy. How many times did they mess up? And he, helped them back out, felt compassion for them, and relieved their thirst, their hunger, their suffering, whatever it was. So
they were hung up on being God's chosen people and didn't see the difference that God was wanting to pack.
I agree with you, Javier. I think you can go further far as if, well, I'm with the Pharisees. I'm with this group. Well, I'm with the Sadducees. Well, I'm with this group. So I think it's even, the wedge is even driven further, clique or group, whatever you want to call it, even more so. Absolutely. I mean, when I have a number one, he was willing to get involved. I mean, he was involved elbow deep with it. I mean, how far was it? Where was he in the middle of nowhere? I mean, how far was he to Jericho, Jerusalem? Were the robbers still in the area? I mean, I said there's 1,000 different valid reasons he could have used to do everything that he did, whether it's, hey, I got a business trip, I'm going to see my child, but he didn't. He said he spent the time. Let's look at verse 34. He came to him, he bandaged up his wounds. Stop right there. That's not fun. I mean, if you're on child, that's not fun. Much less some of the guy that's half dead. I mean, pouring oil and wine on him, he put him on his own beast. Could the guy help himself up? Could he stand? Or was he dead weight? I mean, you think it was logistically, just blocking and tackling how this was done, not easy. How much time did it take to do all this? How long was he there? Put him on his own beast, brought him to an end, took care of him. Like Don said, he didn't just say, hey, here's 2 days' wages. You take care of it. I got to go. And 2 days' wages, that's nothing to say there, right? I mean, Craig, I need 2 days' wages. You can help me out here, huh? I mean, that's some bills to pay with that, right? Take care of him. And he said, and the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I return, I'll repay you. And skip down to number 3 on kind of my characteristics. I mean, the guy had, he obviously had budgeted, had saved, he had the resources to give money to the situation. And he obviously had a good reputation. I mean, innkeeper had never met him before or didn't trust him, he'd be like, no, you're not leaving this guy here with me. But, so had he done this before? He obviously had a good reputation. So, just finish this out on 3 about ourselves. I mean, kind of to Levi's point, do we budget enough where if a need comes up, we're able to do it? Or I got to buy my kid Air Jordans, you know, so I got to have these. Or the famous, you know, clothes, whatever. I'm certainly out of the loop on what's hip, so. But I know they're expensive. But, I mean, do we budget that? Do we, and no different than we budget for our contribution? Do we, hey, this is what I got left over at the end of the week, you know, okay, I'll give it to you. Or do we, you know, purpose it, here's what we're given. Here, this is the top of the list on our budget, our expenses, that this is what I'm giving to the Lord. And he said, and he had obviously a good reputation among men. That's, I think that's something, if he was trustworthy. He obviously could depend on him. Can people depend on us if we give them our word or we say we're going to help somebody? Are we dependable? I think that's the application for us. Yes, sir. So, without thinking about that point, Mark, apply it to ourselves. How blessed are we? Live in a country. At the dinner table, we were talking about, Raymond White brought up that we're the only country in the world that has Fahrenheit. Everybody else is Celsius. They asked why. Immediately said, well, this is the best country in the world. That's why. So, I mean, we are. We're richly blessed. We, you know, just air conditioner and electricity that's pretty constant. You know, it's. You hear about Paul Williams, and sometimes in Africa they have 1 or 2 hours where that's all they got. I mean, we have no idea how you exist like that. And of course, storage and food and just day-to-day living. So we're blessed. So what do we do with that, with those blessings that we're given? Let's jump back up to one. He was willing to get involved and apply to ourselves. And, you know, how do we help others? Obviously, scenario, I wouldn't want a man to stop on the side of the road and helping 3 rough-looking guys change a tire or something. But, I mean, there's all things we can do to help, whether it's financially, whether it's time. You hear a lot of charities that they have plenty of money. If they don't have anybody to help to do the work, whether it's packing food at Houston Food Bank, or it's time. People commit their time to help out. So, I can certainly commend this group when the man was in the hospital. You know, I had her phone, I had my phone, I had the hospital phone. I was like an old-timey operator. You know, everybody's calling and texting, and I couldn't even get back fast. People showing up. Man, I can't get back fast enough. So, we certainly do a good job of helping one another. We received it. So, we can certainly all do better, maybe reciprocating and giving back. But, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to help out one another and help out our neighbor, whoever that is. Yes, sir, Mark. Your point is, he couldn't help himself. I have no idea how long he was going to be involved with this situation, right? I mean, maybe he said, okay, I'm going 30 minutes, get him back, I got to get on down the road. No, it's, you all just spent quite a bit of time invested in this gentleman. So, I would say sometimes that's us. Sometimes you help out and it takes longer than we think, or man, this went a direction I didn't think I was going to, but you stick with it, whether it's helping out somebody over long term, weeks at a time, or something, issue they're going through. So, Greg, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to get into your number 2 more, but I think I'm going to just say, obviously, we take that out into the world to other people. I mean, I was a prophet.
Yep. Samaritan had, Samaritan, beyond mention, he was caring and compassionate. That was the driving force, right? He saw a need and he helped where he could. So I think that's our responsibility. Help where we can. Help when we come across an opportunity. And we all know you don't have to go looking for them. They'll find you just in your day to day life, helping somebody else.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That decision was made quick, wasn't it? I'm going to get on the other side of the road. Not even go check on him, see if he's alive, dead, whatever. Just kept on. Well, and this right down to number two, and Yonah may help me with this, but I don't, it's my version, I don't see where it says what race he was, whether he was a Jewish or Samaritan. It just says to me, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Maybe that's implied because of where it was. I don't know, but maybe it doesn't matter what it, I mean, I don't think that's me. It doesn't matter what he was. He was a person that had a need that actually all three could have helped, but the Samaritan, you know, felt compassion and helped. So, but Samaritans, Jews, that's a first century issue. We don't really have any of those problems today, do we? Not much has changed in about 2,000 years, has it? So, and I'm sometimes amazed at the different ways we come up with to divide ourselves, whether it's, you know, religion, race. I mean, even you hear about football teams or fans of football teams getting fights with one another because you're wearing a different jersey. You're like, wow, come on. But, you know, I said people seem so amazing at what we fight over, get upset about, or divide one another over versus looking at as a human being the same problems like I do. And but, don't touch him, Javier. Really good politics. Don't touch him, right?
Yeah.
You know, talk about him at work. It's going to cause an issue. Or amongst families.
Yeah.
Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. Right. And just, do we think, there's no way to know, obviously, to speculate, but like, did the Samaritan know what he was when he walked upon him? We're just saw that this is a human being that has, obviously, has been attacked, needs help. I mean, that's...
Right.
Right, that was the point. Right. Right. But in the versus the two others who should have been the first in line to help their brethren, did. No, I agree. So we definitely said this is not a first century issue. It's on us today, everywhere we go, whether it's work or play or the neighbor, in the, truly our neighbor in the neighborhood, or just people we deal with every day. Yes, sir. Did I?
The word you used earlier, you said, to describe the scenario where you had people who were in
opportunity, And is helping our fellow man just for Christians? No, there's a lot of people in the world who would help their fellow man, correct? But this is something that we certainly share as well, that we should, our heart's right, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we should be able to help. And I think something else you're like, everybody's busy. Everybody's got something going on. I don't care what it is, whether it's family or kids or work. Everybody's got something else they've been doing, whether it's being here tonight or whatever. I mean, so there's so many things, not mean that they're good things, not always bad things, that are, we get 24 hours a day that are, asking for our time. What do we do with that time? What do we, I saw the statement, when someone gives you some of their time, you can't get that back. So someone makes time for you, they're giving you a piece of themselves, because that's more important than money or anything else, because they can't get that time back. They're giving you a piece of them.
Yeah, it's not like Samaritan was sitting on the porch, some guy crawled up in his yard and needed help.
Exactly.
He's got to be going somewhere.
Absolutely.
I just
really resonates with me, because I got things to do. We got places to go. We got, whether it's work or kids or family or just in general. We got to go to the drugstore. I mean, there's a thousand things that are trying to take our time. So what we learn about Jesus from this incident? Right. It's not supposed to be a good history book, is it? It's supposed to be something it's a tool that we use daily. Mark, you have something? I think it makes us reevaluate who our neighbor is. True. I mean, it's not, for me, it's not Kurt and Travis who live next door to me. It's, people I might run across. Unbeknownst to me today, I might run across tomorrow who might need my help and who might give me the opportunity to talk about their soul. Where do you go to church? Maybe that's an opportunity for me. That's an avenue. I think we all look for opportunities to talk to people, and to me that's maybe an easier one that, well, why is he doing that? Why is he helping? Why is he being that way? Why is he being so helpful? And it's amazing how, when you're helpful, that you get people's attention nowadays. Whether you hold a door for somebody or say yes ma'am or no sir, society you live in. But also, is my mom and dad my neighbor?
Yes.
Is my spouse my neighbor?
Yes.
These are probably the two groups that get talked to the worst by somebody. Parents and spouses, right?
Yes,
that's certainly the way I think kids today. I mean, 5, 7, 12. Why they talk to the parents? I mean, it wouldn't talk to anybody else that way, but why are they talk to the parents that way is beyond me. Well, I understand why, because they weren't correct when they were little, but. Anything else you learned about this, Marquis?
Here's an action word. To me, this is, he said, go and do the thing. This is don't talk about it, let's keep an example. That was the whole point of this. This is an example of the marriage man taking care of somebody he didn't know. That may be the way that you open a door to talk to somebody. This man did something for nothing. He expected nothing. He reciprocated back. As a person who's been helped up on the side of the road, if I was that person's marriage help, I'm going to be thinking, well, why in the world would this person help me? They know who I am. What kind of attitude that could allow you their way to take time to take care of me? You want to know more about them and what, why they really want to go. You know, and this is English interaction. Don't go as a warrior, don't really talk about it. Teach the people to do it and teach by the example.
Boots on the ground, if you will. That's what I sit in safety meetings all the time. Guys, you gotta get out. You gotta get out in the field. You can't leave behind a desk. You gotta boots on the ground, out in the field. That's what you're saying. We gotta put it to work. Versus, this is just a good topic, Keith. I'm glad we talked about it. And do nothing else with it. Mark. He's trying to build him up. You already know the answers.
Right.
Just go do it. Do what you know what to do. Right? Yo, Rocky?
Yeah, I learned that Jesus used specialists to try to get the glory of the Lord and stuff. That's why. So I think love for us is when we read God's word and receive questions. We pass. We turn the question around to us, but there are lives in the marriage. We're getting these questions to try to get us control of our life. Fire.
Jesus is good at answering questions with questions, isn't he? This is why he's a great teacher. Yes, sir, Lila.
I don't know what Mark said about, he's not disinterested in his way, on his way to lawyer. Like he often does, maybe always does, you know, if they're not having this conversation back, he uses it as a teaching opportunity. Just up in verse 23, he's like, he turns and he's talking to the disciples. There's other people around listening to him.
Sure.
There's other people. And so it's not just a lesson for lawyers. It's a teaching moment.
It'll be a teaching moment for us, a teaching moment for us as parents with young children. You know, that's, you're always looking for a teachable moment to say, this is what they did wrong. What you could have done differently, or what could you have done right? So, yeah, good point, Eli. All right, I thank you for your comments and questions. I really appreciate it. Thanks again.